Classic Business Sustainability.
Invest in South Africa's future through the Youth Employment Service. Visit www.yesforyouth.co.za. Now, it's a widespread, but I think somewhat unacknowledged problem that girls in Africa miss school and stay at home because of menstruation. According to UNICEF, 1 in 10 schoolgirls in Africa miss class or drop out completely due to their period, and they substitute regular pads or tampons for less safe and less absorbent materials. Think rags, newspapers. It really is one of the big unspoken about challenges in Africa. I think sometimes there's a bit of a taboo. Well, my next guest is determined to change that with his partners. His name is Ahmed Matara. He's a consultant at Tabletop Investments and is in studio. Evening, Ahmed.
Hi, good evening, Michael. Thanks for having us.
Now, before we talk about Project Blossom, which is very exciting, just tell me a little bit more about your life and what inspired you into this path of social impact entrepreneurship.
My background, Michael, is classic corporate. You know, I come out of an FMCG environment. I studied marketing, economics, and finance. And, you know, I got my grounding in business, through working with a multinational organization in South Africa before working for the Adcon Group in strategy. And I think around about the 2009 timeframe, I got very disillusioned within corporate, for reasons that I'm sure a lot of people, you know, will be able to understand. But at that point in time, I started looking for something different and something where I felt that I could have the space and the leverage to explore different ways of doing business. And through a period of about 2 or 3 years and persisting with different opportunities, we evolved into a space where for the past 8 or 9 years, we've been working essentially within the township space. And a lot of the businesses that we've developed and that we've invested in and that we've worked on over that period of time has had a very strong social element to it. So very early on, we said that if we were going to work in this space, it was important to us that there were very clear, strong social objectives that would be attached to the project. Essentially, the one area that we focused on quite heavily, specifically over the past 4 or 5 years, was the area around youth employment. The issue of unemployment in South Africa is well known and, you know, talked about consistently. And what we wanted to do was go into these areas and come up with ways in which we could bring these young kids into a commercial enterprise and allow them or give them the opportunity to then develop in multiple ways through the opportunities that existed within the organizations.
Now, what first struck you going from the corporate world the glass and steel of Sandton and Johannesburg mm-hmm. to the townships and the dusty streets? So what struck you about the youth in our township?
For us, it's difficult to ignore that, you know, a large base of working consumers come from the townships. And very often, you know, if you look at the difficulties that these consumers have about traveling long distances from home to places of work, those were all part of the considerations that we took into account as we looked at, you know, what the investment opportunity was from a commercial point of view. Going into the townships was around trying to provide an opportunity to people in the areas where they lived, so they didn't have these long distances in which they needed to travel. And that was essentially one of the key drivers behind it. I think also, you know, it's a significant opportunity space from a commercial point of view to go into the townships, bring in the right kind of skills, but partner with local entrepreneurs on the ground that then allow you to bring these commercial models to life. So, you know, for me, I'm passionate about the space. I love working with young kids. We're blessed in South Africa that I think if you go into the townships and you engage with young kids that come out of school or that have got a matric or some sort of undergrad qualification, these are highly passionate, very motivated young kids, and all they're looking for is an opportunity to actually make their mark. And I think being able to bridge that gap and provide them with the opportunity, for us has been very rewarding. So in all of our business ventures, we've tried to ensure that whilst commercially focused, there were very strong elements of social enterprise as well involved in all of the opportunities that we developed.
And that entrepreneurial energy is certainly shared when I chat to the likes of Gigi Olcock as well.
Yes.
He says, there is this latent hustle and entrepreneurialism in our townships that we really sometimes gloss over or don't fully understand unless you're there in the townships, witness the kind of energy and the kind of hustle that is happening on a daily basis. So that's what I really like about the Yes for Youth initiative and what they're doing and bringing these models closer to that entrepreneurial energy. But before we get there, what does the sanitary pad market look like in South Africa? What are the characteristics of this market?
You know, I'm fortunate in that I've had some experience in this market. I worked for a large multinational FMCG, and one of the categories that, you know, we marketed and sold was sanitary protection. So I have a bit of experience in the market and understanding the background. I mean, the challenges that go as far back as, you know, when I was working in the space, which was the late 90s, early 2000s, was always around trying to promote access for women primarily to these products in South Africa. Perhaps just look at, you know, your traditional models on feminine care that some of the larger FMCG organizations use. These are very often significant capital investment. So, you know, if you want to bring in a machine in order to manufacture a sanitary pad, it's an investment in excess of $1 million. And in order to pay back that investment, you've got certain price points that you need to achieve. Your cost bases are fairly set and established. Right. So these legacy-based models, I think, are ideally suited towards a traditional market, so the Santon market. Market, to be able to get products into those markets efficiently and to be able to appeal to that target market. For as long as I can remember, the challenges that a lot of traditional FMCG organizations have had is how to extend the depth of distribution into markets where these products are really needed, and how to make sure that the mix from a pricing, marketing, communication, education, awareness point of view all fit together so that they're perfectly designed with that end consumer in mind. You mentioned something, you know, that was quite interesting about stats out of the UN and, you know, women that stay at home. You know, we've done a fair amount of research on this recently. And if you look at, I think there was an Africa Check study that was done in 2016. There's close on 2.8 million young girls in South Africa that have absolutely zero access to feminine care products. Now, that is astonishing in this day and age, if you think about it. And then if you delve further into the market, there's studies that also suggest that there are occasional users of sanitary pads. So these are consumers who buy when they have the money to buy, but aren't regular users. So, you know, if that gets to about 5 million women in South Africa who don't have access, and a lot of these women essentially are located within traditional township locations in South Africa. You take an area in the East Rand, like Daveyton. Daveyton extends into areas like Etwatwa, into Barcelona. When you get into Tembisa, you've got Ivory Park and Ebony Park. And those are the areas where innovative, creative solutions need to be found so that these products can be made available to consumers within this market. And I think that's really been one of the key drivers, you know, behind, you know, the project that we've taken on now to roll out the manufacture of femcare products in these markets.
So how does one go about doing that to upend that traditional market, which has had significant capital barriers to entry, and to provide a product at a price point that services a market for the township?
Well, I think for one, we've, you know, in partnership with the Tico Barbary Foundation, who, you know, one of the founding members behind this opportunity, they did a lot of work early on in looking globally to try and identify manufacturing solutions that we could introduce into the market, potentially develop locally. And first, you know, we were fortunate to find a solution out of India through an organization called Arkar Innovations. And the story behind Arkar is also quite interesting. But they'd spent about 10 years investing in looking at solutions where they could take manufacturing operations into the villages in India. And in order to do that, they recognized that these manufacturing operations needed to be very easy to use, because the idea was around getting women from the villages in India to actually operate these machines and then sell these pads so that they could earn an income from, you know, the sale of these products. So the cost of the machine that we've been able to bring in, and this is importing, you know, a machine into South Africa, is significantly lower than what you would have, for example, on a traditional femcare product. And I think that combined with, you know, the types of materials that we use and the also the low cost of the operating infrastructure in order to produce means that we're able to come up with a product that costs significantly less than what you would, for example, get out of a traditional femcare asset. So all of these factors combined, I think, you know, we've ended up with a solution that we very comfortable with, that we think is going to be ideally placed, you know, for the solution that we need to be introducing into our market.
So locally manufactured in the township using this machine imported from India and then distributed how?
So the idea that we've come up with, Michael, in partnership with the Youth Employment Service, was to set this up at a local level. So if we take an area like Tembisa, we're launching a machine into Tembisa sometime towards the middle of May. What we've done is we've employed 12 kids who are currently unemployed, so they have registered on the Youth Employment Service database. These kids come in and they all live in Tembisa. I think that's quite an important part of the project. What we then do in terms of the development of the business model, you know, this is, we've set this up on a social franchising basis. So these 12 kids that come in after a year's worth of training and investment and support will take over the business as a social franchise enterprise. So for us, it was quite important in setting that up, you know, that we worked at a local level. So distribution operations, sales, all of the staff, any support that we need that makes the operating of this model in Tembisa successful is procured and secured from the Tembisa node and no further.
And the beauty of that model is it has an inherent commercial sustainability.
Sure.
You're not talking about getting donors to come in and try and fund
no.
a project that can't live without that donor support.
So look, I think the initial investment that's come in through the founding shareholders, in particular the Tsiko Barbary Foundation, that's been sufficient to get us started. It's been sufficient to bring in the machines, to secure raw material, to get the business established. But the idea has always been that post that initial injection of funding from one of the major shareholders in the business, that the business would be able to survive based on the sales that it generates through the manufacturing facility. And that's exactly the way the model's been set up.
And in terms of scaling, what's your vision for growth?
So you're
going live in May in Tembisa with this first one?
Yeah, so to give you an idea, these machines that we bring in, they have a capacity in the region of between 60,000 to 80,000 pads a month. Now, to give you some context as to what that means, is if you take the entire market within Tembisa, Ebony Park, an Ivory Park, one machine that we bring in wouldn't be sufficient to take up 1% of the market share in that area. So the idea is that within existing operations like Tembisa is to get them established, and then over a period of time it grows to increase the number of machines they have. In terms of scaling out beyond that, we've set ourselves a fairly ambitious target that we want to be in 10 different township locations within the next 3 years. And you know, we're doing this in partnership with YES. And the way it's being set up is that the business within Tembisa will be set up in order to service the Tembisa node. If we were to move, for example, out to the south in Orange Farm, the Orange Farm operation will be required to provide the service into Orange Farm. So everything is contained within an ecosystem that is local, from providing the staff to doing the distribution, doing the sales, marketing, any of those kinds of efforts. That local level within which we've set these programs up has been very efficient and highly effective in allowing us to actually plan for scaling up over a period of time.
It's a great practical example of how those YES hubs managed to play a catalytic role in our townships. How did the partnership come into being with you?
So we've been keeping tabs on the YES initiative for a period of about 2 years through other business ventures that we've been interested in. And last year when they launched and, you know, they were promulgated through, you know, the publishing of the government gazettes and they were able to become operational, we approached them with this project in mind. And we said, look, we have an idea that we think would work and resonate incredibly well based on the profile of what YES is looking to do. You take the hub in Tembisa that YES have invested in partnership with SafeHub. That's an incredibly essential, important, and vibrant space, because what it does is it provides a point of contact in those areas where kids who are unemployed can come into and register themselves to say, look, we are unemployed and these are the basic levels of qualifications. And because YES is demand focused, which is a really, really good quality around the YES program, is what they're able to do is then match that base of kids that are unemployed with commercial opportunities, social enterprises, different types of ventures that are looking to come into Tembisa and essentially operate. So the hub space for us is vital because, you know, apart from us being able to integrate more broadly, you know, with this network, and to give you a good example of that, on the actual site, we've got a distribution partner. So that partner will be handling the distribution for the pads within Tembisa. They're able to collect and process cash, which means that it eliminates the need for us to provide that service.
Mm.
But by providing them with the support where they pick up the distribution contract, we're enabling them to grow and to develop as well. So I think it's that network effect. I think it's the access, you know, at a very reasonable cost. And I think for us as investors and developers of this opportunity, being able to partner with YES and having access, for example, to their host placement program makes the project from a commercial point of view that much more viable for us. Because if you consider, if we're taking on 12 kids and through the YES host placement program, they've been able to secure corporate partnerships where corporates will pay the cost of the salaries for these kids during the first year. It means the working capital requirements that we have has been reduced. So attaching those kind of partnerships to the project's been essential. It's been one of the key drivers behind making sure that we're able to actually get to market and expand.
Absolutely fascinating. And as you said, the network effect, the collaboration that that enables this kind of social enterprise to get off the ground, certainly it leaves one feeling inspired and hopeful as we head into the long Easter weekend. Ahmed, thank you very much. We're going to have to leave it there. We've run out of time, but I wish you all the best in scaling this initiative up, and we'll be following you closely. And here's to exceeding your targets of being in 10 townships in 3 years.
Thank you for the opportunity, Michael. We appreciate it.
That was Ahmed Matara, consultant at Tabletop Investments. And you can improve your BBBE scorecard through the Youth Employment Service. Just go ahead and visit www.yesforyouth.co.za.